Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we got a great Thursday lineup for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for Open Forum. This hour, we welcome Ralph Martin, and we're going to talk a bit about the new evangelization, what it is, how we go about it. Dr. Martin is the president of Renewal Ministries, which is devoted to Catholic renewal and evangelization. He hosts The Choices We Face, which many people watch on Catholic television and radio. He has a doctorate from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas, also called the Angelicum, and he teaches in the graduate theology program in the New Evangelization at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit, where all kinds of good things appear to be happening. Mm-hmm. I think that we get more people as guests from that seminary than anywhere else. Dr. Martin, thank you for being with us.
Well, it's really great to be here, Cy, and it's exciting for me today, particularly because this is the first time I've been live in the Catholic Answers studios in San Diego.
Does it live up to all the hype?
It's great. I'm impressed. I really am impressed. Chris gave me the tour, and it's just amazing all the different great things that are happening out here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're very, very happy to have you with us. Among your books, The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call, and our friend Mary Healy did some biblical perspective in there. Why urgency? What's urgent about this?
Well, I got to tell you, I just hope that more and more people are able to address this, but there's just not too many people now addressing it. But this isn't a game. People's eternal destinies are really at stake. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. And if we pay attention to what Jesus himself says, we've got to take seriously the absolute necessity of repentance, of faith, of joining ourselves to Jesus and his body, the church, and his sacraments, and letting him take us to heaven, letting him share with us the resurrection, letting him share with us eternal life. I mean, the Father's giving this amazing gift to the world in Jesus, but so few people take it seriously that we really need to respond to him by joining ourselves personally to him.
It's I imagine many people get this idea that that means going off and being a missionary in a foreign land. It seems intimidating.
No. I mean, one of the things about the new evangelization is that Pope John Paul II says, you know, we now have a new situation. You know, the missionary work of the church has been going to far-off lands where the right. church hasn't been established. But he says, now we have a new cultural situation. We're surrounded by, in traditionally Catholic and Christian countries, many people have been baptized, confirmed, first Eucharist, whatever, who aren't living as disciples of Jesus. So the mission field now is all around us. And another thing that John Paul II said is that it's important for lay people to accept their missionary vocation. Now, this is really new for a lot of Catholics. A lot of Catholics say, wait, me, a missionary? What are you talking about?
Right.
And a lot of times people say, hey, what's new about the new evangelization? And the first thing that's new about it is who it's addressed to. It's addressed to Catholics who aren't living as disciples.
Yeah.
Second thing that's new about it is who does it. It isn't just the priests and nuns. It's all of us, because priests and nuns can't be in all the family celebrations, all the neighborhoods, all the parishes, all the offices, fields, and factories.
It does seem like what we as Catholics so much is easier on us now. I mean, we don't fast as much as we used to. We don't the holy days get moved to a Sunday to make it easier. But this some of it's harder. Like, it seems to me like, say you're a good 19th century Catholic in the United States, the missionary work is for the priests and the sisters. My job is to get a job, be a parent, hunker down, live the faith.
Yeah.
It feels like this is much harder work.
Well, it's challenging. It's a real change of mentality. And like Pope Francis has been saying, we all call to be missionary disciples. And it's hard to really get our head around that and really accept that, because it means a real change in our life. And, you know, one of the things that Vatican II did was rediscover the meaning of baptism, and that the missionary call comes right from baptism. It doesn't come from extra special call someplace else, but also the call to holiness. That actually being plunged into the life of God, the Holy Trinity, plunged into the life of the church, means that we're actually called to seriously say yes to the call to holiness, and called to yes, seriously say yes to joining Jesus in his mission. the fact is we've been joined to Jesus, so we need to join Jesus in his adoration of the Father. We need to join Jesus in his love for human beings and reaching out to them for their salvation.
We're talking about the new evangelization with Dr. Ralph Martin. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I don't think that many listening, or maybe I should put it this way, I imagine many listening will say, holiness is not for me. I mean, I come on, I'm not a holy person, Dr. Martin.
Yes, you know what? That's what a lot of people say. That's what I said. But this, what Scripture says is strive, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, strive for that holiness without which nobody will see God. The only people who are in heaven are saints. I know that sounds shocking. It doesn't mean they're canonized saints. But the only people who are in heaven are those who have completely let go of any attachment to sin, who have completely embraced the will of the Father, who have completely allowed Jesus to transform them and unite us with his heart and the heart of Mary, the heart of love, a heart of adoration, a heart of faith, a heart of hope. And honestly, the only way to get to heaven is to say yes to the call to holiness. And all the saints say, it's best to make as much progress on earth rather than waiting for purgatory. And a lot of Catholics say,
I'll take care of that.
I'm planning on purgatory, drinking Mary today because tomorrow is purgatory. But St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, that's really stupid. He says, why postpone the greater freedom, the greater love, the greater peace, the greater harmony with God's will that brings blessing for you and for other people? Why postpone that? You know, start now. Say yes today to the call to holiness. And yes, we can't make ourselves holy. Only God is holy. But God's willing to begin to work a transforming work in our soul through the Holy Spirit, through the sacraments, through his holy word, through his saints. And all it takes is us to keep saying yes.
Okay, so now say the mom or dad driving with the kids now after school, doing the after school stuff, and they're listening. And how is this mom, this dad, these kids supposed to answer that call now that you've put out?
We answer it right in our life, right in our vocation, loving our husband, our wife, loving our children as a way of taking up our cross and following Jesus, right? I mean, in order for a marriage to work, in order to raise children, we have to take up our cross every day, not that our spouses or our children are necessarily our crosses. But in order to love, we have to sacrifice self-love. We have to sacrifice self-interest. We have to sacrifice comfort for the sake of other people. And that's a tremendous way of growing in holiness. All the saints say you can't separate love from God from love of your neighbor. And we have opportunities to love our neighbor every single day, all day long. And also Mary says, accept the suffering that comes to you, she said this at Fatima, and offer it as a sacrifice out of love for Jesus. And that really accomplishes something. We're kind of joining ourselves with the redemptive work of Jesus by offering our daily suffering and fidelity to our vocation in loving and forgiving and serving. And that really produces really good results in the world and in the church.
Let me give out the number again. 888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Ralph Martin is our guest. We're talking about the urgency of the new evangelization. Give us a grade as Catholics. How are we doing? I mean, you know, like after the year 2018, it feels like, oh, Dr. Martin, we need to just get our act together. Like, we're not ready for this.
Well, you know, almost every diocese and every parish now has at least heard the call of the Church of the Spirit to evangelization. I'd say it's on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of bishops and lots of pastors are trying to make their parishes and dioceses more missionary-oriented. And it's a tough sell, and it's a long road, but there's really good progress being made. Like in our own Archdiocese of Detroit, Archbishop Vigneron went through this multi-year process. He says we need to change the DNA of our archdiocese to be missionary disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so he very carefully, he spent a whole year praying for a new Pentecost for the archdiocese. And then he spent a whole year preparing for a solemn synod. And representatives came from all the different parishes and religious orders and everything. And they came up with a bunch of propositions. And he took them and he made them into a statement called Unleash the Gospel. It's on the Archdiocese of Detroit website. It's really inspiring. It's really, really good. But it also had with a whole bunch of action items, like he wants the chancery to do this to become more missionary-oriented. He wants Catholic schools to do this, become more missionary-oriented. He wants parishes to do this. And so, and there's timelines and there's measurements type of thing. So it's really a very serious attempt to change the DNA of the Archdiocese of Detroit to one that's focused on evangelization. So there's a lot of bishops know that this is really important. Now, one of the reasons why it's on the radar now is because of institutional decline. You know, all the statistics.
Yes,
they're saying, gee, we're going to be out of business if we don't do something to get our customers coming back, you know, that type of thing. But I think that the only thing that's really going to make a long-term contribution is if people do it out of love for Jesus because of the holiness that's been begin to work in their own life, and they do it out of love for human beings concerned about their eternal salvation. That's been the motivation for every missionary work in the whole history of the church. Why would priests go to Ghana packing their belongings in their coffin, knowing that they would probably die within a year if they didn't really do it out of love for Jesus and concern for the salvation of the souls of the people they're going to?
Indeed.
A buzzword isn't going to be enough. Programs aren't going to be enough. It's got to be a response of people in their heart to say yes to the call to holiness and joining Jesus and seeking and saving those who are lost because you're concerned about the lost.
The new evangelization, it's urgent. And how do we answer that call? That's what we are discussing today with Dr. Ralph Martin from the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to call. We'll get to those calls when we come back. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. January's Pro-Life Month. We've still got all of our pro-life materials on sale, radically reduced, actually. Everything's $5. So if you want a pro-life book that we've got, we'll send it to you for $5. You want a DVD, a booklet, an MP3, it's all $5. Just go to shop.catholic.com. Click on the $5 pro-life category and get your $5 pro-life materials all month here at Catholic Answers.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, joined in studio today for the first time by Dr. Ralph Martin, who's been many times a guest here on this program, but first time in the actual studio here at Catholic Answers. Delighted to have you, Dr. Martin. We're talking about Dr. Martin's book, The Urgency of the Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call. So you talked about the kind of your bishop talking about it has to get right into the DNA. We need a new DNA, and maybe one might look at some of the chastisement the church is going through as a divine push or something. I suppose, so maybe just a basic thing. What is the new evangelization? I mean, is it a I guess people might be tempted to think, well, it's a kind of a watered-down version of Catholicism. Is that what we're talking about? Is it a media-savvy version of Catholicism? What is it?
Those are all secondary things. What it is a call to embrace the mission of the church, which is to proclaim Christ to all people and apply it here and now in our daily circumstances. And the reason why it's being called new is because it's being directed to everybody all around us. The cultural situation has changed. Catholic culture is collapsing in many places around the world. One of the most shocking things for me in the last couple of years is seeing these images on television after Ireland approved abortion and people celebrating in the streets.
I know.
I mean, how dark has it gotten? How perverse has it gotten? Like an almost explicit rejection of God and his law. You know, it's really scary.
Right.
That's happening all over the world in the traditionally Catholic countries. And so Pope John Paul II, knowing that this was happening, says we've got to activate ourselves to be missionaries in our own countries, in our own neighborhoods, in our own situations. So the new evangelization is the same message. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same message. It's the same truth. But now to be accepted as a responsibility of every single layperson and to be interceding for the salvation of their friends, their relatives, their family members. There's hardly a family these days that don't have members who have drifted away from the church. And
so
the new evangelization is directed towards praying for their salvation and being a witness to them. Now, one of the things that Vatican II said is that setting a good example is really important, but it's not enough. And this is where it gets a little scary for Catholics.
Yeah.
In section 6 and 13 of the Decree on the Apostolate of Lay People, it says we got to be willing to talk about Jesus with a view to bringing people to faith who don't have faith, or helping people grow in faith who do have faith. Now, this doesn't mean we have to go out in the street corner with a sign around our neck saying, repent, the end is near. There's so many natural opportunities if we're alert to them. It's so easy to share a book with somebody, say, hey, this book really woke me up to what it means to be a Catholic. Maybe you'd like to read it. Let me know what you think. Or, hey, Scott Hahn comes to town. Maybe you've heard him three times already and you're not too keen on going again, but because you're concerned about somebody that you love, you say, hey, come on, let's go with me and hear Scott Hahn. I think you're going to really see something about being a Catholic that you didn't even know was there, you know? And you pay for them and you pick them up and you drive them and you call them and you bring them. And then you're willing to tell your own personal story. You know, everybody has – everybody who's a believer has some personal story they can tell, learning how to share their testimony. In all my classes at the seminary, I have everybody practice giving a five-minute testimony. You know, and I tell – think about when God became real to you. Try to use language that fallen away Catholics and non-believers could understand. So sometimes I'll have a nun in my class get up and say, oh, I just – had such an awakening when I was at adoration, when the monstrance was so beautiful. I say, stop. You know, people don't know what adoration is. People don't know what a monstrance is.
Yeah.
Try to find a way of talking about it that brings about the reality of your contact with God, and then go from there.
Ah, beautiful. 888-31-TRUTH, the number. I have put off callers long enough. Lorianne in Pittsburgh, Kansas, listening on 93.1 FM, is up first. Lorianne, your question for Dr. Ralph Martin.
Hey, Cy, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I'm thinking that the new evangelization needs like a cheer. Like, I am Catholic and I like it. Let me tell you what we do, and you yourself might like it too. Something.
Yeah.
But my question, we're trying to embrace this in our home parish, and we're all reading a book about the greatest lie, and I was wondering if he had heard it or seen it, and if he knows about holy moments.
Well, it just turns out that our local parish in Ann Arbor, St. Thomas the Apostle, handed out that book along during the Christmas season. And I picked up a copy and I was intrigued by the title. I said, what is the greatest lie? I was really interested to see what Matthew identified as the greatest lie. He said the greatest lie is that we're not able to be holy.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to say.
He said the greatest lie is that we don't really believe that God is calling us to holiness, that it's possible. And he says how that really has to be at the heart of everything that happens, you know, our relationship with the Lord. So holy moments is when we have opportunities to say yes to the Lord, respond to actual grace during the day, respond to communications that the Lord does want to make to us in all different kinds of ways. Like I felt like the Lord was preparing me for Lori's question by letting me see Matthew's book a couple of days ago.
Right. There's a holy moment.
There's a holy moment.
Right. Right. Lorianne, you were at our conference this year, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's why I want to make sure I was talking to the right Lorianne. Well, what do you think of Dr. Martin's answer?
I think it's awesome. I was talking to some junior high kids last night, and we were playing Simon Says, and one of the questions was, Simon Says, I'm holy, and only three kids held up their hands. And I'm like, I've seen you. You are holy people, but here's something you can do. You know, it's like doing somebody's chores or letting somebody go in line in front of you. That's a holy moment. That's God in you, and you can do that. And I think they kind of felt like, yeah, I can do a moment. I can do that. So it was real exciting.
It is exciting, Lorianne, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing the gospel with children in that way. And thank you for the call. Dr. Martin, I guess when, as I listen to, I'm also having this sense that Catholics maybe are having trouble believing in the uniqueness of Jesus. So that, like you talked about presenting Jesus, and that's what we have to share, and that's what we need to share. But maybe people are of this kind of more current view of that, look, there's a lot of ways to God. And if that's how you get to God, okay, Ralph Martin, good for you. But there's a lot of ways to God. And so I just try to encourage people and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, be a better Muslim, be a better Mormon, whatever yeah. type of thing. You yeah. know, just right. be a good person type of thing. Well, one of the things I think that C.S. Lewis said that is so striking, he said, if you actually listen to what Jesus says about himself, you can't just pass him off as another great teacher, another great prophet, or yeah. a holy person. What Jesus is saying is that the Father and I are one. What Jesus is saying is that nobody comes to the Father except through me. What Jesus is saying, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you won't have life in you. What Jesus is saying is that if you don't pay attention, if you don't repent, if you don't believe, if you don't take a hold of me, you won't have eternal life. So C.S. Lewis says either he's a megalomaniac madman.
Yeah. That sounds like a madman, like
or
you don't know him.
Or
yeah.
he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
Especially when he was, you know, having that animated interaction with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, where they're saying you're possessed by a devil. He says, no, your father's the devil. And he goes on and on and on. And he says, and then Jesus says, before Abraham came to be, I am. Of course, people who know what he was saying know he was saying, I'm Yahweh, I'm God.
Yeah.
You know, it was when God revealed himself in the Old Testament. He said, I am who I am. So Jesus was clearly claiming divinity. And so we have to answer the question. Every single person today, the cultural faith is not enough. Catholic tradition is not enough. We have to really, each one of us, answer this question for ourselves. Who do you say he is? We just have to come to grips with that. We have to wrestle with that. We have to look into that. We have to ask the questions, all the wonderful apologetic questions that people ask, like how do we know the Bible's the Word of God? How do we know mm-hmm. this is reliable witnesses? How do we know that God exists? How do we know that God spoke to human beings? You know, so all those wonderful things you do here at Catholic Answers, helping people clear away those questions so they can actually answer that question. My Lord and my God.
Amen.
My Lord and
right.
my God.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I think many of us want to. We need the obstacles cleared away for us. Let's go to Ray in Colorado listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 130. Ray, your question for Dr. Martin.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how do figures like Father James Martin and like you were talking about Archdiocese of Denver, their own the Gay Dignity Mass, how does all this fit into the new evangelization? Is that the Holy Spirit working through the Archdiocese of Detroit and Father James Martin for, like, unleash the, I don't know, even like a gay gospel to include everybody?
Well, you've brought up a painful situation in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Yes, there is a Dignity Mass going on there that's been going on for a long time. Dignity is an organization that's on record for wanting the church to change their teaching about the immorality of homosexual activity. Yes, there are priests in the Archdiocese of Detroit that are sort of fostering this, not maybe calling people to repentance, but actually confirming people in their sinful lifestyle. So yes, that's something that I know the Archbishop is wrestling with and he's consulting on and he's trying to figure out how to handle it in the best possible way. Some of us wish he would handle it more quickly and more decisively, but we're praying for him and we know it's a difficult situation. Father James Martin, as you know, is a Jesuit priest who is trying to advocate an inclusion of people who have homosexual inclinations and maybe even acting out on those inclinations when welcomed into the church. And there's a lot of language today about welcoming people, but we need to be clear about what we're welcoming them to. We need to welcome everybody into the church, but what we're welcoming them to is an encounter with Jesus Christ that brings about repentance and faith and a changed way of life. And we can't compromise the truth of God's word and the teaching of the church. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. The fornicator, the adulterer, the person who engages in homosexual activity, the thief, the robber, the miser. And this isn't an isolated text. You know, Galatians chapter 5 says, those who do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5 says, don't even talk about them. Because of this impurity, the wrath of God is breaking out against the human race. Revelation chapter 22 says, the fornicator will be thrown into the lake of fire. If we don't repent from these serious sins, we're going to end up separated from God forever. So we can't compromise that message. And there's a lot of people like Father James Martin that are trying to fuzzy the whole thing and be ambiguous and saying, let's be inclusive. But what they're really after, it seems to me, is to accept homosexuality as a viable option for those who have that inclination in terms of the activity of it. Of course, the temptation, everybody has temptation, and people are to be greatly admired for resisting that temptation, just like resisting the temptation to fornication or adultery, whatever.
Ray, thank you for the call. More calls for Dr. Ralph Martin after this. We're talking about the urgency of the new evangelization and hopefully giving you some help to answer that call. Right back with more after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Purvis.
And this is Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team talks about the March for Life.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
That Gloria Purvis, does she know that I want her to say hi to me in those ads? Because she's now stopped doing it and I'm feeling crestfallen. Crestfallen. 888-318-7884 is our number here. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and Dr. Ralph Martin is our guest. We're talking about the urgency of the new evangelization, answering the call to the new evangelization. I also have in front of me another book by Dr. Martin, The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. And so the connection, I suppose, we can make is that if we're going to be answering that call to the new evangelization, at its core is be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Yeah. We have to strive for holiness.
Yeah, we need to have Jesus as fully working in our life as possible, because like it says in 2 Corinthians, God is in us, making his appeal through us. You know, there's a way in which the presence of God in us has to increase. Our sinfulness, our distractibility, our worldliness has to decrease so that Jesus himself can communicate himself through us in our love, in our words, in the inspiration we're open to by the Holy Spirit. So the link between holiness and evangelization is really, really clear.
I have to do a little thing in my head, because I think about, like, as a child, when I heard about holiness, it seemed like very a porcelain kind of thing, a very like holy card type of thing. And when you, like, you mentioned Bernard of Clairvaux, there's probably not a more joyful, fully alive person you could find within 100 years of him.
Yeah.
And because of his holiness, I wonder if we're communicating that enough, that what we're saying about being holy is having a freedom of spirit that's like, in its own little way, it's like the freedom that God has.
Yes, yes. The more we're in harmony with God's will, the greater joy there will be in our life. It doesn't mean every day we're going to feel great, but there's going to be a fundamental peace, a fundamental joy, because we're beloved of the Father. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. Jesus is dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And if we just persevere to the end, and we pray for the grace of perseverance every time we say the Hail Mary, pray for us now at the hour of our death, amen, we're gonna be in eternity. We're gonna be so full of love and so full of happiness, and what great reunions we're gonna have, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Catherine of Siena asked God the Father, what's heaven gonna be like? Are we gonna recognize other people when we're gonna be there? And what God the Father showed her is that relationships here on earth that are in the Lord are going to be even better in heaven.
Yeah.
We're not only going to recognize people that we were close to, but it's going to be even better than ever, because all the impediments, right, to full communion will be taken away, all the selfishness, all the distractibility, all those things will be taken away. It'll be just perfect love for God and perfect love for each other and perfect joy.
The way you say it, it sounds like good news.
Yes.
Anonymous listening on Red Sea Radio down there in Texas. You are up next, Anonymous. Your question for Dr. Ralph Martin.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I guess I have a stereotype type of when I hear the word new evangelization, I kind of, because of the things going on now today, and the where does the traditional Latin Mass fall in this new evangelization, in your opinion? I think it's left out, and I think we should be just promoting it more, and the bishops should be inviting them into the archdiocese, I think. What do you think?
Well, I think that the Church has recognized now that there are a number of different ways in which the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass can be appropriately offered with reverence in a way that builds up the body of Christ. And certainly the traditional Mass is one of those ways. And there's a lot of people who are attracted to that, but there are a lot of people who aren't attracted to that. And a Novus Ordo, celebrated in a reverent way, can be a very effective way of worshiping God and celebrating the Mass. So I think whatever is allowed by the Church, all these options are ways in which God can work to bring people to himself. I would hope that people who go to Novus Ordo Masses and people who go to traditional Latin Rite Masses or whatever would all have a heart, though, for salvation of souls, and not just be kind of, you know, withdrawing or, you know, suspicious of what's going on in the Church, but actually have a spirit of joy where they're reaching out, not just bringing people to a particular way in which the Mass is celebrated, but bringing people to the Catholic Church, bringing people to our faith.
Anonymous, what do you make of that?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the traditional Latin Mass is not invited into archdiocese in many places. Here in Texas, it's very, very limited, and a lot of people have to travel a long way to attend that kind of a Mass.
And you'd like a more generous availability of it.
Yes, I think that is part of the new evangelization, but it's never addressed that way.
Well, I think the mind of the Church is that it should be made available. You know, it should be freely available. Made available.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I have to say, though, too, what Anonymous raises, too, is the role of liturgy in this whole conversation about holiness and evangelization. There has been, I have seen it myself over the course of my lifetime, a loss of a sense of the holiness and sacredness of the Mass itself, often recovered. It wasn't lost everywhere at every Mass I ever went to in my life, but in my 54 years, I can tell you there it hasn't all been consistent.
Right.
But she does point to a very important point, I think, that the reverent celebration of the liturgy is not peripheral to this conversation about evangelization.
It isn't. But one of the things that it's worthwhile pointing out is that in the early church, the Mass wasn't used for evangelization. The Mass was restricted to people who had really made a commitment to Christ. Like, the Mass wasn't used for evangelization in the early church, and people had to be very carefully screened before they were invited to the house church because they were afraid of persecutors, they're afraid of informers, they're afraid of false Christians. So people had to go through a very rigorous preparation period before they were deemed worthy to actually attend the Eucharist. So it wasn't used as evangelization, which isn't to say it can't be used for evangelization in our current circumstances.
Right.
But we shouldn't rely just on the Eucharist. The Eucharist can be tremendously attractive and tremendously evangelistic, celebrated in the appropriate way. But we can't just rely on that. We have to be in our neighborhoods, in our fields, in our factories, in all the situations of our life, being willing to share our faith with others and invite them.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more in terms of, and I wonder if this is what you think, Anonymous, that the reverent celebration of the liturgy prepares me better to be a holy person
and do that. Oh, absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that what you were thinking, Anonymous?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. How can I go out and evangelize when I can't get what I need?
Yeah.
Well, I would hope that you would understand that the Mass is the Mass and that even if it isn't celebrated exactly in the way that you find most helpful, it's the Mass and you can actually participate in a devout way and receive the body and blood of Jesus and be nourished by it no matter what, I would almost say. You know,
it really is.
Unworthy priests who are celebrating it, it's still the Mass. And so let's recognize the Mass whenever the Mass is said, you know.
Yes, right. There can be that thing where we can it's almost a Protestant thing that the quality of the service is what makes it good, but it's not. What makes it most good is that our Lord and Savior arrives.
It's one of the great geniuses of the Catholic Church is that the validity of the Mass doesn't depend on the holiness or the competence of the minister or how good a preacher is or whether, you know, it's the Lord in His mercy said, I want myself to be available to everybody. Even in minimal conditions,
Right. Yeah. It's very hard for you to make it not happen. Because he wants you to have it so badly, and it is so efficacious. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. We're talking with Dr. Ralph Martin, many times a guest on this program, but for the first time here live in studio with us. The latest book is The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call. We'll take more of your calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about the new evangelization today with one of our great proponents of evangelization, the president of Renewal Ministries, which you can find at it's renewalministries.com, right?
.net.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay. Renewalministries.net. Dr. Martin also teaches at the Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. And when popes need to talk about evangelization, they call him.
Is that true?
That might be a slight exaggeration, but he was a part of the Synod on Evangelization in,
ooh,
in
awesome.
2012. Yeah, that voice you hear is Rochelle. Rochelle is the I don't know what you're supposed to say, author, proprietor.
Host.
You're the host.
We'll just go with host.
Oh,
it's
yes,
simple.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you so much, because I'm not all this new stuff of the podcast, Clumsy Theosis. Rochelle Ducero, of course. How's things going over at Clumsy Theosis?
Clumsy Theosis is going amazingly. I don't have words for how well received it's been. Everyone is just becoming a community, actually. Like,
that's
we
beautiful.
Even like stay in touch on social media. Yeah it's awesome.
I think you might have missed one or two during the Christmas break, because I saw an email come through the radio department that said, what happened to Clumsy Theosis? And very complimentary things were said about how it's you're not dumbing it down for anybody, but you're trying to make this idea of theosis, of sharing in the divine nature, accessible to people, because God intends it for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just it. Like, you hit the nail on the head. I don't want to dumb down Catholicism, because it doesn't do anyone justice, least of all God, you know, and our dignity as people. We're capable to, you know, to get a hold of the meatiness of Catholicism, but it doesn't have to be dry or boring or use three syllable words or anything like that to really understand what's going on. And so that's, and I love being Catholic. And so, you know, I just love to talk about it and share it with people in a way that's just conversational and in a way that addresses people as though they really are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. You know? Yeah. I do want to point out to you, theosis is a three syllable word.
It is. Oh, yeah. My gosh, the irony. So,
and if you use the Latin term divinization, it's
oh,
even.
Gosh.
But
five syllables.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you totally got me. That's the only three syllable word we use, people.
But we are made to share in God's life. That is unbelievable.
Right.
An unbelievable reality. Only possible because God is triune. God is three persons.
Yes.
And it can invite us into that communion.
Absolutely.
And how do we get there? I mean, you say Clumsy.
Yeah, Clumsy Theosis. It's a podcast you can get on any podcast app. So that includes iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify. If you are truly lost, go to Catholic.com and then search Clumsy Theosis. You'll find it there. Or even Google. They'll tell you how to get there.
I was actually asking, how do we get into the communion with the Trinity, but we'll do that next time.
Oh, that's longer than we have now.
Rochelle Ducero, the host of Clumsy Theosis, thank you for coming by. I'm always happy when you come by.
You're welcome. Everyone, listen to Clumsy Theosis and subscribe.
Listen and subscribe to Clumsy Theosis wherever you get podcasts.
Exactly.
I used to say blogs, but I know the difference now.
888-318-7884
is our number here. As we said, we got a great Tuesday for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for Open Forum. This hour, Dr. Ralph Martin is our guest.
I think it's Thursday, though.
What's Thursday?
Today.
Oh, what did I say?
A great Tuesday.
Well, if this were a Tuesday, it would be awesome.
Yes,
as
yes,
a Tuesday.
Yes.
But Thursdays are, of their nature, better than Tuesdays. So
yeah.
it's also a really – thank you. I situated you in New York earlier. I made today Thursday. I have – as Jimmy says when I do that, because I do become confused, he says, I've become unstuck in time. And I apologize for getting unstuck in time. The new evangelization – we talked a bit about the crisis year. I guess it almost feels like 2018 was a year of all the illusions just came crashing down. All right. I mean, even after 2000 and 2001 and all the things that happened after that, perhaps we were still holding on to the illusion of that this was not a crisis that went right to the bone.
Yeah.
But we know after 2018 it is.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people say, hey, hasn't this totally wrecked evangelization? Like, how can we evangelize now, given the public humiliation of corruption within the church and cover-ups and lying? How can we evangelize? And what I would like to say, first of all, is for people who are discouraged or tempted even to leave the Catholic Church is, hey, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
that's the trick, I think, that the devil's trying to play.
Yes, yes. And we have this text in 2 Corinthians where it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And one contemporary translation says we have this treasure in cracked pots. So we leak, you know? And this incredible imperfection and infidelity. But that doesn't mean that the treasure is any less the treasure.
Yeah.
And like when people were leaving Jesus because he was saying, you know, shocking things to them about his body and blood, you know, he asked the disciples, are you going to leave me too? And so Jesus is kind of asking people that today, are you going to leave me too?
Yeah.
And we need to answer the same answer the apostles gave. Where else can we go, Lord?
Yeah.
You have the words of eternal life.
Right.
So even though there's so much junk around, Jesus is still the treasure, and we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So we need to kind of draw closer to Jesus and love him more and be more of a faithful witness to him, and also pray for the church right now. The church is in great trouble, but people, the world is in great trouble, and people need Jesus. And so we need to kind of like let people know that hope is available, that,
yeah,
that hope is available, that truth is available, that purity is available,
right,
that holiness is available, and it's in Jesus, and it's in his body, the church, despite all the
right
crud that's going on.
Indeed it is. And you know, when you were speaking earlier to the man who called about Father Martin and those things, you said – We do have to be inviting everyone, but we have to be clear what we're inviting people to. And in my own life, I feel now, having experienced the mercy of the Lord, I wouldn't want an easier gospel, because it doesn't make you happier. It doesn't make you more joyful to continue in the sins,
yeah,
that you're in, whether,
yeah,
those sins are very popular in the culture or unpopular, whatever,
yeah,
they are. It doesn't actually – what you want is the gospel as it really is, which is I can make you whole and holy.
Yeah. Yeah, we were created for union with God, and anything less is frustrating, is miserable, and ultimately dark and despairing, you know?
Yeah.
And you mentioned mercy. God is so merciful. He is so much wanting people to come to him and discover Jesus and discover the church. But we have to make a response to mercy. A lot of people have fallen into like a presumption on mercy. Oh, God's so merciful. It doesn't, yeah, really matter what I do. He'll forgive me, type of thing. But that's not really the real message of mercy. Every time that Jesus showed mercy to people, he expected repentance and faith. The woman caught in adultery, he says, I'm not going to condemn you, but go and sin no more. The parable of the prodigal son. It wasn't until the prodigal son repented and changed his direction and headed back towards the father that the father's love and compassion could really flow into his life.
Right.
The sick person who for 38 years could never get down to the water when the angel was stirring the water, Jesus took compassion on him and healed him. But then it says he sought him out to tell him something important. Don't sin anymore or something worse can happen to you. So God's mercy is not to be treated lightly. It's to be responded to with gratitude and fidelity and repentance.
Right, right. I don't think that guy was trying that hard, the 37-year guy. Come on, 37 years. It had to be a day.
But you know what? What if all the able-bodied sick people kept muscling him out,
that's,
and
right,
he was paralyzed, and he,
right,
just couldn't move very fast?
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. All right. 888-318-7884 is the number. On Facebook, Patrick on Facebook says there's a danger of, and I think he might have been responding to the anonymous caller, of focusing so much on internal reform of the church that we don't go out. Is that what you're trying to say to us a little bit?
Well, that's one of the things. But I also want to say that the Mass is the Mass. And honestly, people have strong opinions about the kind of music they like, and,
yeah,
whether they like Ad Orientem or not, or whether they like Latin or not. And those are all real issues. But really, the Mass is the Mass. And whatever Mass you can go to is the Mass. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater again.
Yeah.
You know, like Jesus is there.
Yeah. Okay. So say I'm sitting home and I'm thinking, I kind of believe this, Ralph Martin. I do believe that I'm meant to share, not just experience the good news, but to share the good news,
mm-hmm,
with other people. What's my next move?
Yeah.
Well, is there a course in this?
Well,
you know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, can I go online somewhere?
Well, there are. I mean, there's a lot of resources now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people trying to train people in evangelization. There's a lot of people, like Christ Life is a Catholic ministry that has developed three video programs, you know, called Discovering Christ, Following Christ, Sharing Christ, where they're trying to lead people into a deeper relationship and deeper holiness, and then also leading them into a commitment to share the Lord and kind of wisdom about that. Then go to ChristLife.org and find out about that. You know, there's, you know, lots of different renewal movements in the church that are trying to train people in evangelization
and get involved. Find them.
Yeah.
Find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah.
I mean, just last, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, the Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University students, met. They had 17,000 people.
Yeah, that's really great.
Were you there? Or
Last year I gave a talk there, but not this year.
David in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Stations of the Cross. Your question for Dr. Ralph Martin.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on. Ralph, I've been involved in charismatic renewal, and I know you were really big in that. And I'm just kind of wondering, from where it's been, 20 years ago to where it's going now, how is it going to fit into this new evangelization? How are those gifts going to be used, in your opinion?
Well, I would say that the purpose of the Catholic charismatic renewal isn't to get everybody into it, but to be a witness to the reality of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are supposed to be the possession of the entire church. The Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit aren't the possession of a particular movement, but they belong to the entire church. So I feel like what the Lord really wants to have happen, and this is happening already, so many dioceses are now saying, we really need a new Pentecost. We really need power from on high. We really need more passion. We need more energy if this new evangelization thing is going to ignite. People can hear teachings about new evangelizations, but if they don't experience the love of God flowing into their heart through the Holy Spirit, if they don't experience the Holy Spirit working through them in different kinds of ways, it's not going to bear that much fruit. So I think that the charismatic dimension of the church, and I'm not talking about a particular movement, John Paul II said the institutional dimension and the charismatic dimension are both co-essential to the very constitution of the church. And he said Vatican II helped us rediscover that. So I think the church is trying to figure out how to get this institutional and charismatic dimensions of the Spirit's working together. And I think the charismatic renewal has been an inspiration and inspiration for that, and continues to be inspiration for that. But the goal is not for everybody to join a movement. The purpose is for the church to get moving.
What do you think of that, David?
Well, I hope so. I just, I really believe that's true too. And, I just hope that, I think that we've got to bring Mary in with the Holy Spirit, because she protects us in that spiritual battle. Because I think a lot of people, probably didn't have a deep prayer life and got into spiritual stuff that they just weren't ready for. And so I think when you bring Mary and the Holy Spirit together, real powerful things happen.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. And we also have to bring people into contact with the wisdom of the church about holding this submission, the wisdom of the saints.
Right. We do have thank you, David, very much for the call. We can experience seekers. Like, I want another experience. I want another great experience, spiritual experience. And, or, even go to all the talks and do it. We never get away from the take up your cross each day and follow me.
Absolutely. And John of the Cross, in the book Fulfilling All Desire, I talk about John of the Cross warning us against the danger of seeking to repeat past experiences, or seeking experiences rather than following the Lord and seeking the Lord. He says the Lord gives experiences, but not to hang on to or build an altar around or try to reproduce, but he gives us because of grace he's giving us to it. But he wants us to keep moving on, and those experiences aren't God himself. We need to keep pursuing God himself.
Yeah. Oh, so it's even in a way spiritually, I guess, like being attached to a material thing.
Yes.
I've attached myself now to this great experience I had.
Or you could attach.
Just keep moving forward. Go to God.
Yeah, exactly. He uses experience. You could be attached to your special rosary. You could be attached to your special chapel. You could be attached to your favorite book type of thing. And
your
all
favorite
these
radio program. Thanks.
but we need to kind of receive these things, but not cling to them in a way that keeps us from clinging more fully to God himself.
Right. Keep moving forward toward God.
Yeah.
Ralph Martin is our guest. The book, if you'd like to get it, and I strongly suggest that you do, is from Our Sunday Visitor. It's called The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call. We do need that help answering the call. I look at people always contrast the optimism of Pope John Paul II with what seemed sometimes like the pessimism of Benedict, in that he said, well, the church is going to get smaller, and one said it's going to be a springtime for the gospel. What are you, a springtime for the gospel guy, or we're going to get smaller and be like a remnant?
A remnant out of which a springtime will come.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Play both sides of it. I appreciate that.
I think that's what's happening.
You think we're being winnowed down? And
I think it's clear that we are. We're being purified. We're being chastised. We're being judged, but with the purpose of a shoot coming out of Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, a, a more committed church, a holier church, a more
spirit-filled
church.
All right, I need the weather report then. How long till the springtime?
No, I can't tell. It looks like it's happening pretty quick, though.
Really?
The chastisement's happening pretty quick.
Oh, that part, yeah.
Yeah, like
we're well into that.
Yeah, we're well into the purification. How long it's going to last, I don't know. But, well, you see now, people are gathering together with greater fervor and greater commitment. You know, people are having to make decisions.
Am I in or am I out?
Yeah, right.
Fair enough. Dr. Ralph Martin, our guest. The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call, the book. Next hour, Jimmy Akin will be here with us. We'll do an open forum. Dr. Martin, thank you again. Really appreciated the time with you today.
Thank you, Si.